Welcome to iConversations. I'm Brooke Lepore-Trench, Features Editor of Wardrobe Icons. Today we're switching things up a little and I'm interviewing co-founders Laura Fantacci and Petro Stoffberg. We're talking about the juggle. Is it even possible? Let's find out. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Ciao.
Ciao. We're sitting in Laura's living room. The girls are all curled up on the sofa, ready to share. And we're going to talk about the juggle.
Let's do it.
I'm a little worried about the first question because before we started recording, they were already arguing about how they actually met.
We don't argue. We're like an old married couple. We have constructive conversations.
Petro was in a cupboard. Laura was upstairs. Laura started first. Petro came second. So, Laura, what do you recall about the first time you met Petro?
So, it was probably around 2004, would you agree? I'm very bad with dates, so I'm going to say yes. Sometime in the early 2000s. And I was a junior fashion editor at a magazine called Happy, like a shoppingy magazine mimicking Lucky in America. And it was one of my first like editor's job. And I was there for the launch. And I remember Petro on the second floor. When they moved offices, she came in and you were a work experience.
Yeah, I did work experience. It was my first proper work experience after finishing my master's at London College of Fashion. Were you junior?
I was a junior fashion editor.
Yeah.
And were you good mates straight away?
I think there was probably, I can't really remember vividly, but there was
probably. I remember liking you.
Yeah, I mean, I liked you, but we weren't like you. I felt like you were a little bit younger for some reason.
Well, I was very much junior because obviously I was in the cupboard and I was like assisting everyone and I was doing, you know,
she was funny. I remember you were funny.
How things have changed.
Now she holds the purse strings. I know way too much about this business to be hosting this podcast. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you were much younger then. And when we talk about the juggle, you guys were just, it was like work, play, home. Did it feel like life was a bit more simple then?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah. With no husbands, no kids, no business.
But I never felt it was simple. I always felt like I had like lots of stuff on. But now I just think like, you idiot, you knew nothing.
You knew nothing. You thought you were busy then? I'll show you busy. And so I'm going to fast forward a little bit to the point at which you decided start working together. It had become more of a juggle because I think you'd both had your first babies.
Yes,
or your did. Second.
No, first. So Lara and I always describe to people, it's like we were friends. Like we'd see each other like maybe once a year or maybe twice a year. Like we sort of kept in touch. Mm. We weren't close friends. But then we got married around the same time. Our husbands really got on.
And you were really good at keeping in touch because I think if it hadn't been for you, maybe we would have lost touch. But you'd like regularly like, call me or, you know, make a date. And I remember you were really good at like sticking to a date. It would really annoy you if I changed plan because you were like had an agenda. And if I fucked around with that agenda, you were like, no.
Again,
no,
how things have changed. I'm such a different person now. I'm quite scrappy when it comes to friendships. Like you can't get rid of me very easily. If I've decided I want to be your friend, there's many people in my life that I think have tried to get rid of me several times. But I just keep on fighting. And eventually they
pregnancy.
Give up.
It was pregnancy and pregnancy first and then children that brought us together.
Jacob was born and I was a miserable heap and you were just like,
I'm a miserable heap too. Let's hang out together.
At what point did you start wondering about how your jobs as fashion editors would work with this new role with family? Were you starting to worry about it yet? Was that not really part of, you know, in terms of the juggle, had you started thinking, oh, this will be fine, we'll just, you know?
Well, I had a bit of a different situation because at the time of being pregnant, like the majority of my team had been made redundant, and I just suddenly thought, like, what am I going back to? I just, you know, at the time I was working at Look, but I had already fell out of love with the idea of like just pushing and peddling fast fashion and, you know, cheap buys. And it wasn't how I shopped. It wasn't what I believed in. And I had already kind of decided that I needed to find a way out of doing something else. And actually, at the time of going on maternity leave, I thought, well, maybe I'm tired of fashion. Maybe I just need to get out of fashion. But I really, really missed it.
Yeah, I suppose I didn't really have much of a choice. And I loved my job. Like, I was at Red. I was, I think it kind of harnessed a path towards what Wardrobe Icons would be. So it was a really good place for me to work at. I had a blog at the same time, which was gaining quite a lot of traction. And I had a really lovely community that I was speaking to. And I started thinking, would I rather solely speak to that community directly rather than through a magazine, through a publication? And gradually, the answer became yes. And it was quite scary. Like, I remember when I first went back thinking I couldn't live without the security of a job. I was also not, you know, in a place to take that chance. And then gradually I felt like that fear went away, and it was really clear to me that I could take that step. And my husband was a big supporter of that, and he kind of allowed for that to happen. Sort of.
When we were on holiday together in Sutri whilst we were on maternity leave, and I was like, I've had this idea for a website, but I don't want to do it on my own. And I was like, oh, tell me about it. And she explained basically the concept behind Wardrobe Icons, which was about curating forever lasting wardrobe. And I really loved the idea, but I was convinced someone had done it. And I was like, oh my God, you're so cute. But no, someone else has done it. And I spent about 2 weeks researching it, and I was like, wow, no one's done it. And that's exactly how I want to shop, and I want that website, and I want that advice. And it's so simple, but really speaks to me. And so I sort of bullied Laura, I think, initially into doing it. I just remember saying, we should do it. And she's like, yeah, I know. I feel like I've got a lot on my plate with a blog and with my job and with the baby. And I was like, shh, calm those fears. Let's do it.
You did. You kind of pushed me, like, in a good way, I say, because I think at that point I was just a bit scared, like, to make that leap. And the idea had been in my mind for years before I did it. Like, I remember sitting on a beach in Sicily speaking with my husband about this idea of a website that was so curated and timeless. And the idea came from my readers and from my followers, it wasn't just, you know, an enlightening moment just in my brain. I was being asked that question, how do I curate the perfect wardrobe? What are the items that every woman needs, over and over again? At that time, on my blog through, you know, comments, there was no Instagram. And, you know, when a question gets asked over and over again, you start thinking, okay, well, obviously we need to do something to answer it properly. And you said, let's do it.
Knowing Lara as I do, you have ideas, you think about them. Had you been literally planning to pitch the idea to Petra on that holiday, or did it just come up? Had you earmarked Petra as your possible business partner because you felt like she could be someone who would be good to work with?
I don't remember how that happened. I think we just became close, and I really genuinely liked her. I thought we shared a similar vision and work ethic, and I just saw myself getting on with her. And I mean, looking back, we did take a chance because, I mean, we knew each other, but we didn't know each other as well as we know each other now.
Was there a bit of instinct, a bit of gut instinct, and it sort of just felt right?
It felt right. Maybe it just felt right. And also, you know, she believed in it. She was passionate about it. And nobody at that point had said, I want to do this with you. Maybe I was flattered. Maybe I was also...
I was like, I'm hitching my caboose to that train. Once it's at the station, yeah, I'm going to be able to find a way back.
You insisted. And I think that...
Yeah, I really did.
And I think that probably... I mean, looking back now, I mean, how great that was the case. I do know that I didn't want to do another thing by myself. I found it lonely. I found it uninspiring.
For wit, wearing it today.
For wearing it today. And also, I didn't want the light shined on me anymore. Like, I wanted to be, we wanted it to be at that point, a platform that looked outwards rather than, you know, I didn't want to be a blogger. I didn't want to be an influencer. I wanted to go back to being an editor. And talking to other women.
And in terms of the juggle, if we're talking about the juggle in terms of making it work, that way that came about, you had an idea, and I've seen this happen at work lots of times. This look comes over Lara's face, and Petro's
God,
like,
"I hate that
oh
look.
What does that look like? Oh what is it? Can
they
you do it?"
They face off one. They literally face one another all day long. And Lara's like, "I've got an idea."
That's literally my my least favorite words in the English language, because it usually comes via a text at 5 o'clock in the morning. "I've had an idea." And then the sort of inwardly go, "Oh God."
And then just as you went away and Googled whether someone had done this before, you kicked the tires. I'd say sometimes fairly directly, just with a no, and other times with, "Okay, let's just think about it. How are we going to make this work? What are we going to do?" And then you both come together. So my question is, when did you start to see that you really complemented each other? And I'm sure, you know, this also leads to a bit of tension, but it's good creative tension.
Well, I don't feel like, I don't think I knew when I started this journey that how it would work out. Like I kind of felt we were both quite creative and we're both, but I knew I wasn't an ideas person. I'm not an ideas person. I'm a doer. You give me a project and I'll find a way to make it work, and I will carry on doing it. Like, I'm very diligent. Like, I'll just keep on plugging away at something. I won't give up. And I always say to this day, if it wasn't for Lara, we'd still be working in PDF, because I'm just such a like creature of habit. I just want to keep on doing the same thing and get it right, get it right, get it right. And Lara is much more, I think, someone who comes up with the great ideas, and she inspires the team and she moves the business forward, but then very quickly gets bored and wants to move on to the next thing, and I'm left holding the baby.
It's just like a marriage.
It's
like a marriage.
Unfortunately, it's true. Yeah. If I think back at the days at your house when we were working from your office, like the really early days, okay? Like really early days. I think what you did, which is quite special and not everyone would do, is you were quite humble and you let me lead in a very sort of positive way. Like, I think that you trusted that I had this vision and you let me, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you let me lead.
Or didn't have a choice.
Or didn't have a choice. But it was in a trusting way. Like, I felt like you just trusted that I had this vision, and maybe, you know, at the time you didn't have a following, you...
Oh, no, no. And also, what I realized very early on with you is that you're a perfectionist and you see things I genuinely do not see. It's not like I'm trying to be lazy or haphazard or don't care. I just don't see it. Like, you'll be arguing with the designer about a thickness of a line or a percentage of a gradient, and I'm just like, what are they looking at? It's a line. But you, those minute and often to me silly things or insignificant things add up to things looking the way they do, which is really, really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I know, because you wouldn't both want to be like that. I feel like I'm more like you, Petra. And in fact, if we could catch what Lara's got, we'd be have made out with her long ago. Because you sort of wonder, like, why didn't I see that? And I think with Lara, even with each issue, she's literally still like quality controlling it the second before the button goes. Petra's like, "Should we just flat plan the next one?" And I'm like, "Yes, let's just get on." So Lara, what is it like being like you?
I suppose I'm like quite a typical creative in that you know, in my field, I'm very specific and very careful to all the details. But then I get a bit lost in the sort of bigger picture. So I literally walk in the office on a Monday and I ask Petra, "What do I need to do? Like, tell me, what do I need to do? I need someone to tell me what to do so that we actually get to send out an issue." Because if it was for me, I'd still be dotting I's and crossing T's. And there has to be a point where someone tells me, "No, enough, let's move on." And I think letting go of that has allowed me to concentrate on the things that I am better at. And that's, I put bows on things, as Petro likes to say.
I think you two really trust one another.
Yeah.
And I've seen this a lot. And I think in terms of the juggle, the topic of our conversation, that trust comes into play where now you've got children and life is busy and things happen. And because you're owners of a business, you're really able to support one another for your lives to work often around the business. If Lara has to go, Petro just knows, you know, there's that trust where you each pick up whatever needs to be picked up, Was that there from the beginning? Did that take time?
I think so, yeah, because we both, I mean, a bit stupidly actually, but we both felt that starting our own business would give us more freedom. And what it does, it does give you more flexibility. And I craved for that. I have, you know, at the time I had one child, but now I've got two. I wanted the idea of having my own business meant that I could spend more time with my children. I could be around more. I don't have family here. So that's something that I think I spoke to you about. I probably said to you, that's one of the reasons why I want to have my own business, is so that I can be responsible of my own schedule and more flexible and more around with my children. So I don't think we ever, you know, doubt that we're committed to, you know, our
I think goal. Also at the beginning, you know, Lara was juggling Wearing It Today and doing the website and Wardrobe Icon. So I kind of felt like I needed to give her the space to be able to do both, because I didn't want her to ever feel like she had to sacrifice Wearing It Today for Wardrobe Icons, because I realized that A, it was still very important for Wardrobe Icons to have Wearing It Today for it to, until it like really built up its own audience and its own voice, and it was very much reliant on Lara. So she couldn't just like let it go. She had to sort of run it as long as she wanted to run it. And also equally, Lara gave me space because I do things with my dad, and I have to work on our family farm, and I have to, you know, every 2 weeks I have to have meetings with them, and sometimes I have to take a week off and do meetings. But that was very much understood from the beginning, that although Wardrobe Icons is very, very important to us both, and does take up the majority of our time, it wouldn't be something that would necessarily be able to swallow up all of our time.
So we've talked about this, lots of the founders we've spoken to on our podcast, everyone who grows a business talks about how you get into it for more time. Mm-hmm. And Lara has spoken about the letter she sent around to everyone she knew about leaving her full-time job so she had more time for everything else. And then just the amount of time that it takes to build something. Have you been surprised by that? Has it been something you've gradually lent into? Is it more work than you thought? What is it like being at the helm of something?
It's been a very gradual process for us. So we haven't been an overwhelmingly overnight success. So, you know, we started from Petra's kitchen. There was just the two of us. The magazine was 3 pages. It was all, you know, simpler. And then very gradually we improved the website. We hired more people. We had more, you know, we built up a vision. And I feel like the journey has been quite smooth. And there's been tougher times where we've been overwhelmed by the workload, and we've just addressed it and thought, how are we going to make this, you know, more easier? And ultimately, how is the quality going to be better? So I just think it's been quite a smooth journey so far.
And also, I come from a family that my father's a very successful CEO, and so I have of a global business, and I basically never saw him, or I saw him, but you know, at weekends, and he worked incredibly hard and was always traveling, and you know, the bulk of the childcare was left up to my mother. And I just realized early on that as much as I want a successful career, I'm not willing to sacrifice everything for it. And that is basically what having a massive, you know, global enterprise is. And so, like, Lara and I are always struggling with this sort of pull of, yes, wanting to make Wardrobe Icons the biggest, most, you know, important, like, successful website that we can make it, but also keeping some time to ourselves, sometimes to our family, you know. And for me, that's just as important as making Wardrobe Icons a success.
That's really interesting that you both consider the juggle or the balance of your life, and that you in a way sometimes would have to probably rein in your ambition for the business to try and keep the equilibrium. Is that unfair? I mean, men don't do that with their businesses. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I think it's success for me, it's not one or the other. It's like life, you know, it's kind of like packaged up. So I can't dissect each one of them. I have to be happy in all areas of my life in order to sort of deem my life successful. So I couldn't just be happy with a, you know, with a successful business. And also we'd have to define what successful means, because to me, Wardrobe Icons, it's super successful.
Yeah.
And equally, I couldn't be, I wouldn't feel happy and fulfilled just being at home or just doing my mom job, because I have so much creativity in me and so much to say that it would, you know, it would spill out some on some other level. So for me, it's seeing it as a whole, successful, and it's all together. It's those bits in life that that make life kind of, you know, special.
Well, I know for me, at any given point on any given day, I feel like I'm nailing one thing and failing at the other. You know, it's like you'll have a great day at work and then you're kind of, you know, not dealing with the kids very well.
Constantly.
How do you, you know, juggling things always makes you feel like, you know, you're never doing anything, or make me feel like I'm never doing anything really, really well.
I am a real pat on the back kind of person. So I don't believe in making myself feel bad or guilty about things that I can't do or haven't achieved. I believe in patting myself on the back for the things that I have managed to do. So I try and not feel guilty about messing something up or making a mistake or not being there when I feel like I should have been. I just try and like focus on the good things that I have managed to do. Okay, yeah, so I missed, I don't know, a speech day, but then I'd had a really incredible work day. Or yes, I missed like quite a big meeting, but I managed to make sports day. Do you know what I mean? Like there's, I feel like life swings and roundabouts, and I've just got to be like kind to myself and not feel like, otherwise you just constantly feel guilty, and it's just such a waste of energy.
Laura, do you, how do you deal with that? The ups and downs of doing one thing well at the expense of another?
I sometimes have to be a bit more realistic as to how much I can actually manage, because I'm only one person. So early on starting up the business, I actually had some really, you know, good advice from a friend of mine that came in to help me manage Wardrobe Icons whilst you were on maternity leave.
Yeah, I remember.
And we were still working from home, and I remember sitting down with her going through the workload for the week. And I said, okay, so we're going to, and then at 12 o'clock, Greta comes back from nursery and I want to have lunch with her and then I'll go back to work. And she was like, no, you can't have lunch with Greta every day.
She was being monitored by another grown-up too, was she?
She had a nanny.
Yeah,
and I felt like for me at that point, I thought that having lunch with her would really mean something, that she would remember it as a grown-up. But she said to me, do quality time. Don't squish that half an hour. You will probably be distracted because you're still onto something. So she helped me to really give work and play and kids segments that would be really worthwhile and of quality. And now I think I apply that a lot more. I think, okay, how much time have I got to do this? How much can I apply myself to this? And that's advice that's really helped
me. Such good advice. One thing I've noticed about the way you two are in business, and, you know, so friends working together, growing the business, making lots of decisions, is that you're really good at having hard conversations. I think you argue really well. So I'm wondering if that's something you've always done. And just so our listeners can know, it's not, you know, women in particular, you know, I've always worked in female-led businesses. There can be emotions. People can be passive-aggressive. Neither of you are really like that. Laura is capable, is quite a direct person and knows what she wants. Petro, you're good at sort of asking questions that are hard. Is that something you had to learn? Do you think that's about just the way you two relate to one another? And have there been big blow-ups I've missed that weren't
there?
There's
quite a lot of questions in one. Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, at the root of it, there is the understanding that we don't want to hurt each other. Don't you think?
Like, yeah, we always said when we first started the business, yes, the business is important and so on, but ultimately we would both sort of tear up the business if it meant our friendship was in trouble.
Mm.
No relationship's perfect. Obviously, we have disagreements and see things and not eye to eye. But also, I think what's kind of good about both Lara and I is that we try not to take what the person's saying too personally, and that it's like we've got friendship hats and work hats, and when it's a work hat, you can't take it like a friend saying it to you. It's like your business partner saying it to you.
And I also feel like we're quite good at compromising, as in we know, I feel like we've got these sensors. I know when something really matters to her, and I know that sometimes I've just got to put, like, let my guard down and go, well, it really matters to her. It probably doesn't matter as much to me, and the opposite.
And I think when it gets trouble is when, I think when there's a massive blow up is if something matters, really matters to both of us, and we don't see eye to eye on it. But luckily, those are few and far between.
It's interesting. Petra's talking about switching hats. I think as women, we do that a lot. You've got your business owner hat on, then your friend hat on, then your mum hat, then your wife hat. And we're constantly switching these hats, which is probably one of the more stress-inducing things we have to do, because we're constantly switching mindsets and the way we are. What is the key to that for you both?
Mm. What's really helped is the transition from working from home to having an office. And working from home was great. It was amazing, perfect in every way, up until it really wasn't. And going with that gut instinct of knowing that it just wasn't going to work anymore really made it possible for me to be more present at work and a more committed mother. So having a workplace really made it possible for me to put those hats on and off at a very kind of symbolic time. You walk out through the door, work hat on, you come back at home, you know, mom hat on.
I agree. Compartmentalizing things, yes, or having a space, yes, for each. And I wanted to ask, when you start a business with a friend, as Petra said, you've hitched your wagon to one another. Do either of you ever have questions about whether you're on the right path? Or is it really like a marriage where at this point where you're just like literally like on it and going?
I've never questioned that I didn't hitch myself to the right wagon.
You.
There are times when I wonder what I was thinking, but I know that I wouldn't want to do this job with anyone else.
I also think that, you know, we've spread our message, like our relationship has spread to a wider, you know, we've got a bigger team now. It's not just about you and me anymore. Like it used to be. It's really nice to see how we've grown and how we've stayed close through, you know, some harder moments. But we haven't, I think the hardest bits are probably to come.
I don't think we've hit them yet, but I hope that we'll hit each stumbling block the same way as we have up until now, which is always have the hard conversations. Like, don't shy away from them, because I am someone who would naturally shy away from hard conversations because I hate confrontation and I find like anything like that quite tough. But I've had to learn that to have a successful business with a business partner means that you have to say, this isn't working, this is working, let's work on this together.
Like in any relationships, there's nothing you can't talk about, nothing. And I think it's just how you do it, picking your timing and not being reactional, taking a deep breath if something annoys you. Like, there's ways you can do it.
I think to finish, I'd love to know some advice about the juggle. Like, what do you tell women who want to know? A bit like the great piece of advice you got when Petra was on maternity leave and, you know, your friend said, just, you know, stop trying to cram it in. What is the kind of piece of wisdom that you share with people?
For me, it's been about looking at myself in the mirror and going, let's accept the fact that you're actually not any good at this and allow for someone else to take over. And I've done that with Petra, and I've put that confidence in her, and it's allowed me to become better at what I, you know, at other things and grow and be a more rounded person. So it's about scaling back and not trying to be the best at everything and trusting a team of people to believe in the common goals and work towards it together.
I don't think there's like one piece of advice for everything. Like, for example, for kids, I would say it does take a village. And then in terms of work, I would say as much as you believe in yourself, you have to believe, like Lara said, you have to believe in your team and what everyone else is doing and give everyone space to be good at what they are good at, and don't crowd them and try and micromanage, because I think then you end up not only stifling your business, but your team won't stay with you because they just feel like they don't really have space to grow.
I love that.
Thanks for listening to iConversations. Turns out talking never goes out of fashion. You can find more episodes of these insightful conversations with the women who inspire us on Apple Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps get the word out.